This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Amber Rose Presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
I'm Roxy, and I have an unapologetic approach to everything I do.
Y yo soy Ruby, a traditional woman with a modern perspective on life.
We're going to be talking about social media, hot topics, pop culture,
relationships, politics, sports, and everything in between.
Buckle up. Risqué with Roxy and Ruby. Prepare for takeoff. 3, 2, 1.
Oh my gosh, regresamos guys. Welcome to Amber Rose Presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby. Y pues Ruby, nombre, me la tienen en chinga. Me la tienen trabajando. Erika is here, the homo homie.
What up? Happy Friday.
I brought my gay boys with me.
What's up?
Erika and Alexis.
What's going on?
For all who don't know, Erika on Instagram is the homo homie.
Yes.
He's my little sidekick. We've been through a lot of stuff together.
Yep. Going on 9 years.
9 years. And Alexis is the homo homie's best friend.
Yeah, that's my right. Best friend. Going on
over 14, 14 years?
Almost 16.
Oh my God.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's a very well-seasoned relationship.
Yes. Con mucho sazón.
Bien sazonada. Yes, definitely.
Oh my gosh. So today we're going to have a great show. La Ruby, she actually had to take off to Mexico to interview Julian Alvarez, I believe. So she's out there doing her thing. And she interviewed J-Lo and A-Rod.
I was just going to mention that. I saw her social media. I was like, oh, great. Get it, girl. Get
Ruby,
it.
We are so proud of you, girl.
And hustling.
Yo traje serenata ahora. I was like, you know what? It's a new show. It's a new week. Every week, you guys, like, I'm just like starting to feel better and better because why the otra? What do they say? When your only option is to be strong, then that's exactly what you are, right?
Yeah,
or right. Something like
absolutely.
That on Pinterest?
Something
like that. Anyways, pero yo traje serenata. Can you give him a little mic check? I love showing off Alexis's voice.
Yes, 1, 2, 1, 2.
I always try to do that with Erika, too, because for all who don't know, the homo homie, Erika, they both
he can sing.
Sing. You guys were both in a conservatory program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's where we met.
Yes, we did.
Talk about that.
Yeah, we were in a music program. It's a 3-year music conservatory program at Citrus College in Glendora, and we went there to study music, and they teach you every genre, musical theater, jazz, classical, pop rock, everything.
And then you guys traveled everywhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you're trained in known as a triple threat. So you sing, dance, and act. So that's the three triple threats in the whole theater world.
You know, I think my favorite and most dear memories I think that I made was with you experiencing, like, you know, going out to communities, especially during Christmas time, going out to the communities, out to like these, you know, children's hospitals and just singing to the elderly and just holding hands and just the people.
What
just
would you sing to them?
We were just in classical, traditional, like, you know, like A Holy Night. We'd sing.
Can you guys do me like a Holy Night together? Just like that, impromptu.
Let's do the...
Don't think about it too long. This is the podcast and they're listening.
Okay,
so...
Wasn't it Silent Night?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Silent Night. Are you going to harmony?
On,
you can't do the harmony. I'm doing
it's
the traditional.
So
you, I'm doing just the melody. I'm not doing the harmony.
You wait, the regular song?
Yeah, the regular one. Yeah. Ready? There you go.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild.
Oh my God, we're...
Oh my God.
You know, it's a lot different when you have like a group of 40 singers and you have the harmony.
Exactly.
That's the reason why he was I know what you were going to do, bitch. You were going to go ahead and do the...
The one that we used to do in concert.
Where it's like...
It's harmonized. It's nice. So. It's beautiful. It's beautifully arranged.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did that for 3 years.
Erika wanted to go from 0 to 100 real quick with no practice.
I was like, what?
He wanted to do the concert.
That's how I was like, wait, hell? What the fuck are you doing, cabrón? Yeah, okay.
I'm like, gracias.
It's only two of us, cabrón. It's not 8 of us, okay?
I would have jumped in, but I would have thrown off the whole song. But listen, so where did you guys travel to together?
I was a year ahead of him.
Right.
So my first year, I went to South America. I did everything, the whole tour. So South America was Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay. Then my second year is when I met him.
We went to Hawaii. Pop tour.
Yep, that was amazing. And then my third year, his second year, we went to Germany, Poland, Hungary, and Czech. So Eastern Europe.
So every summer, it's important to know, like the Citrus Singers, every summer we would switch off either doing a pop tour or a classical tour. Uh-huh. And we would do classical. We hit up every cathedral, every mass. I mean, it was beautiful when we were singing.
O sea, eran bien santos.
Yeah, it was just like, to me, Gregorian chant is like the most favorite thing to do.
What's Gregorian chant?
It's like,
chant?
You know,
give
the
old
school, just like, you know, when you go into really like a Catholic church and it's just like that. Angelus Domini nuntia vid Mariae et concepite Spiritu Sancto. And then you just hit Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. I mean, that's just the kind
of... And imagine that in a church, dude, like, echoing.
I would straight up feel like La Virgen María, like, just like a Santa Purificada.
When we would sing, there was times when we were singing in the middle of the concert, and, you know, you're in these buildings that have been they were built in the year 1010. I mean, it's older than our country. When you're sitting there and singing Mass for, like, God, and, you know, just this angelic harmonies, I remember I would get... the warmest feeling, goosebumps, and just the feeling of crying, because mm-hmm. it was just a blessed experience to be able to be in a theater that was so antique, and I'm sure it saw many, many wars, many, many things.
You
want
to feel close to God, sing in a church like that.
In
very,
Europe. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
So I think that Citrus Singers is the is one of the best things I think I accidentally ever fell into, because I was supposed to actually go to school to do makeup and hair, and I ended up parking in the wrong side of the college. I was walking through, heard the music, I saw the director, I was like, oh, you guys ever, you know, he saw me kind of peeking, he's like, hey, are you interested in singing? I was like,
actually looking for the makeup class.
And so he was like, well, do you like singing? I was like, well, if I have time, I'll come and I'll sing, but you know, I want to do makeup and hair. That's what I was going to do. I was going to do that in college. And he's like, well, do you sing? I said, yeah, I do it as a hobby. He's like, well, wait for me here. He literally gave me 10 minutes. Then he said, come here with me. And I was like, all right. He's like, well, we're kind of looking for guys. Can we just hear what you got? I took him into a room. He vocalized me.
So you busted it out?
He vocalized me. We just did the solfeo. Just like, you know.
What's solfeo?
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re. And just, you know, whatever he played, I would sing back just to make sure that I was able to, like, have an ear and have it, you know, be on key and stuff. And we did that for 5 minutes. He told me, hold on, give me 1 minute. So he grabbed Mr. Bollinger, which is the dean,
the
big boss of Citrus Singers. So he's this big, you know, blue-collared, operatic guy from Montana. He's just, hey, I heard you can sing. Come here. Sit down. Let me hear what you can do. And so he vocalized me, and he was like, so you're in the program. And I was like, no, well, actually, I wanted to go to makeup and hair. He's like, no. He's like, you know, if you have time, we'll get you into that, but we need males, and, you know, don't worry about it, Alexis. We're going to make sure we take care of you, blah, blah. So... And by then, I actually was on my way to Mexico. So I left to Mexico, came back a week late to join you guys. But it's all history from there.
Shout out, Mr. B.
Mr. Bollinger, yes.
Are no mistakes in life.
That man is amazing. Yeah. Such an amazing man. Yeah. Very outspoken,
so that's how
very
we met.
Amazing.
Yes, that's how we met, and we connected with that. And here we are 14 years
later. It's been a beautiful
later.
Friendship
yeah,
ever
there
since.
You go. Salud.
Oh, oh, my gosh. Does anybody have a charger for the computer?
Uh-oh.
I forgot to bring mine.
Great. No.
No, Anthony?
No.
Oh, my God.
We have cell phones.
Anyways, yeah, we have cell phones. Exactly. No, so I don't know how much time we're good. We're good, Anthony? Anthony's like, you're all up in this conversation, huh?
We got 8 minutes. No, not 8 minutes. We got
Mackenzie.
Hello. How are you doing?
At Mackenzie.
Hello, world out there.
Hello. Hello. No, hello.
We're so hyped because we record on Fridays, and you guys are going to be listening to this on a Wednesday. So
why are you giving away our secrets?
Well, because they already know. Hello.
We need to edit that out. Just look at the time. Just kidding. No, the podcast, we keep it just in case we decide. It's all good.
We always keep it real. That's
no,
how it is.
So check it out. I was reading something. Actually, Erica, you showed me this article about mm-hmm. Pink, and she was talking about how she's been able to make a career out of telling it like it is.
Literally.
And it really, like, I was so driven to this article because, you know, the thing about she wrote on this quote, she said, the thing about me is I always knew when to draw the line. I always had that inner voice that told me what was right and what was a little too much. I always knew when to draw the line. My thing was, I was as rebellious as they came. when I read that, I was like, that kind of sounds like me. If everybody was walking in a single file line, I was always walking backwards, diagonal over here. I'm going to make people follow me. I'm not going to follow y'all. I'm going to do what I want and hopefully y'all join along. If not, I'm fine being by myself. And when I read that, I was like, Pink has always been the realest, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I've always thought Pink has always marched at the beat of her own drum. She's always in her lane.
She's always been that very outspoken, that one that doesn't hold back from what she wants to say and what's on her mind. And she's crossed through all kinds of genres, huh? Like pop and rock.
I was
going to
say, I think, my respects, Pink is a beautiful woman. She's talented and she's so acrobatic. I mean, she's yes. so fit. I have to respect her because she does all that. But I think I kind of feel like once she got out of her pop thing, which I feel like maybe they might have pushed her towards a little bit more than her like pop rock and what she does now, mm-hmm. She's really let loose. Like, she's really become a different... I mean, she's always been
true to herself,
but she
always
she got to like a different dimension of herself, I think.
Yeah.
When she felt like that freedom was given to her about being able to do her music.
And I feel like she's always been the OG when it comes to the acrobatics of too. Like, I feel like when she started performing at big award shows and just in general, she was always the one doing acrobatic stuff. Right. And then everybody else after, I feel kind of followed. But yeah. she's very true to that concept.
But you notice that very rarely they'll bring in, I mean, will the actual singer, performer do the acrobatics? They'll bring people in to like cameo while the performer is singing, but Pink does it while she's
out and she's still singing the song without being out of breath. I'm like, you've mastered that.
We need to get back into shape, Eric. I wonder, you can do the same thing.
I wonder how you practice that. Like, that acrobat, do you think she takes classes to keep on point, right?
She stays fit. You have to, literally. I mean, we did the program. We were acrobats too. We did everything. I freaking walked on balls. I was a dancing snow woman. I was a dancing snowflake.
That's true.
I was a dancing tin soldier. I did tap dancing.
See,
I could
step touch the fuck out of some stuff, but my thing was like they put me more on the mic. I was more, you know. But because we would have classes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We had morning vocal class. We had our personal vocal class. We had choir. And then Tuesday, Thursday, we'd have dance classes from like 9 to about noon. And then we'd come back to dance and take another dance or a choreography from 2 to 7.
Dang, that's a good program. Yeah, so
it's a lot of discipline. I mean, and just like Pink. She puts a lot of discipline into everything that she does.
Yeah. And you know what I also love about her? You know, she gets really... People are... Her relationship, like... She's very 100% kind of transparent in her own way about like, my shit hasn't been perfect, right? And I was actually reading something that says she was getting real about monogamy. She says, sometimes you don't have sex in a year in any relationship.
Damn.
Pink and Heart have gone through their fair shares of ups and downs. She put, there are moments where I look at Heart, which is her husband, and he is the most thoughtful, logical, constant. He's like a rock. He's a good man. He's a good dad. He's just the kind of dad I thought he'd be and then some. And then she says, and then I'll look at him and go, like, I've never liked you. There's nothing I like about you. We have nothing in common. I don't like any of the shit you do. Yeah. I don't ever want to see you again. You get on my nerves. Then 2 weeks later, I'm like, things are going so good, you guys. And so that's a relationship.
And
like,
almost divorced twice, right?
Yeah, they went, I think they left each other twice.
Yeah.
And then they finally decided to work it out. And I'm like, that's
love and that's commitment. And that's... Right. You know, that's what it takes to be in a relationship, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be, you know, honky-dory, perfect, you know, fairy tale.
Absolutely.
That's what a relationship entails, you know?
I kind of feel like that's kind of the same thing like Maria Felix said. You know, I love Maria Felix. One of her quotes in her
books.
I love Maria Felix. She was such a powerful person. But she even said back in her day, there was a book, it was called Mi Guerra, My War. And her quote that I love says, you know, el amor es como una disciplina. Si no lo mantienes, se enfría. And that's what you have to do. Es una disciplina. I mean, it's not always the best. It's not always easy, you know, but you have to keep working at it. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I've tried and sometimes right now I tapped out, but I tried.
We're tapped out of love.
I'm just living life right now.
And then
Pink
went on and said, oh my gosh. She said, this computer's about to die. Oh my God.
Is that what she said?
No, yeah.
What did she say?
She said that sometimes her and Heart would have their dry spells, you know, like for a while. And that's true too. In relationships, sometimes you go, it's not like you're having sex every day, especially if you live with the person and you've been married to the person, or it's
Tell
like serious, it's
it.
More than 8 years.
That is tough.
It's I mean, at the beginning, it could be like that. Yeah. But then after a while, you're like, dude, I come home to this guy. And it doesn't mean you're not in love with that person. It just means like, baby, today is just, I'm just not feeling it, and vice versa. Or it's, I don't know. I found it when you live with somebody that, like, realistically, sometimes kind of like waiting 2 weeks and then getting it on was exciting because you actually like desired that person. And you know what I mean?
Right. At the beginning, it could be like 3-4 times a day. And
exactly.
Then after a while, like, you start, okay, I got things to do. I'm not in the mood. I'm running late. You know, I'm like, yeah, I got a little headache. I have a headache. You know, like all that stuff. But, you know, and then I think it's up to you to really, okay, is it because we're really busy or is it because I'm just maybe not feeling it as much anymore? But it's up to that couple to really understand what they're really going through.
Yeah. You know what? I actually, the other day, this girl wrote to me and she was just telling me, like, she was telling me that, you know, she's been with her man for, I want to say, let me see, they've been with each other for
11 years, isn't it?
No. After being married almost 24 years and together 25, I'm thinking of leaving my husband. I told him, but the fire is no longer there. Like, I get girls that write to me stories like this. Right. She said, I would love to talk to you face to face. There's so much to explain. I just need some advice from a real woman. You're a real woman too, comadre. Pero she's like, I think that I'm stuck in costumbre. But I can't imagine my life without this guy. But she's like, she said it herself. I no longer feel the fire there.
Ya se enfrió el comal.
Ya se enfrió el comal, comadre.
Y ya valió, ya saben qué.
See, that's why I love my bestie. He's so international, very bien mexicano.
You have like the best one-liners. Como dice, what did I put on my Instagram?
Cuando el cuerpo quiere, hay que darle. Ahorita nos estamos atascando.
Oh my God, listen, so coming back, we have this amazing woman in the house with us. Ella es una autora, she's an author, and she self-published this amazing book called Arroz con Pollo and Apple Pie. Her name is Maritere Rodriguez Bellas, and it's this book, I found it interesting, and I was like, tenemos que hablar contigo, because it's about raising bicultural children, and I think all three of us in this room are bicultural, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's really benefited our career, our lives.
Right.
We're proud of it. And we really do know two worlds, right? We are the Latino hybrids of this generation.
Exactly.
And it's a beautiful thing. So yeah, coming back, vamos a estar hablando con ella, Maritere Rodriguez, the author of Arroz con Pollo and Apple Pie.
Yeah.
Yo soy Juan Rivera, and you're listening to Risque with Roxy and Ruby on CBS's Play.it. Let's get it.
Oh, man, today's show is amazing. I love it. Welcome back, guys, to Risque with Roxy and Ruby. And we have our girl here in La Casa. You are a bilingual author. You are a writer, a blogger, and you actually went to Pepperdine University in California. Congratulations on that. That's a great university.
Yeah. That's a good university.
Yeah, and for 12 years, you wrote a column, right, for La Opinión, which is the largest Spanish language newspaper in the country.
That's right.
That's amazing. Everybody knows La Opinión is live in L.A. Yeah. And all over, ¿verdad? Mm-hmm. Porque ahora la cosa es digital. And hiplatina.com, you were a guest writer for Huffington Post, and you've been featured in Latina Style, and just, you do so much. Has estado casada por 30 años, so you were loving the conversation we were having.
Yeah, actually 33 years, and so I can totally relate to that part where, you know, sometimes you like the person, and sometimes you are like, oh, please, like, go away. Totally go away, but no, you know, my husband and I talk about it a lot. We made a commitment, and you know, you just don't throw in the towel like that.
Right.
I mean, especially you have children together, and it's really sad to see marriages that have been together for a long time, and then all of a sudden they can't work things out. Life is,
that's
you
crazy.
Know, marriage is a lot of work. It's
I
like parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting is a lot of work. Trust me. My son would tell you, like, oh my God, you guys. And in paper, my children that are adults, they say, how in the heck did you guys made all these years?
Yeah.
Because right. We grew up very different. My husband is Greek American. He grew up in the Midwest, which is good people, very
right.
good people from the Midwest.
Nice party, South, yeah.
Yep. Plus, they also has a Greek, you know, thing
that
going.
Sazón, yeah,
and so ustedes en la casa comen gyros?
Oh yeah, oh my god, I love Greek yogurt. I had to learn how to eat lamb.
Oh god, I love lamb. I didn't even know what that was. I love lamb.
Because I grew up with pork. You know, in Puerto Rico, roasted pig and lechon, pero yo no sabía ni lo que era el cordero.
I had no idea what that was. I love me some lamb chops.
Well, good, then
nice
you have to
juicy.
Come over. I'm a good cook. I love to cook.
And does your husband speak? Does your husband speak Grecian? Greek? Does he speak Greek as well?
He has some words. He used to when he was home because his grandpa. His grandmother never learned to speak English. Wow. Ever.
That's how my great grandmother was. She's like, yo no, ni mierda para nada.
Yo empecé así. Yo soy mexicano. Yo empecé así. Y luego se me fue when I went to school. And I had to relearn it all over again and relearn it, como se dice, pocho.
Son
pocho.
En mi caso, nunca fue mi caso para nada. Gracias a Dios, para nada.
No, a mí el español se me estaba perdiendo también. It wasn't until I got into Spanish radio where I had to actually speak in Spanish when I went to go do radio in Chicago. Donde mi jefe, he was like, sí, tú vas, es radio en español, emisora en español, tienes que hablar en español. And I was like, what, say, ¿qué? Like, yo no te podía terminar una oración. I was losing it. Y si no lo practicas.
¿Tú naciste en El Salvador?
Yo nací aquí.
Aquí, entonces.
Mi mami nació aquí. Okay. My dad is from El Salvador.
Oh, ya veo. Mm-hmm.
So, con mi papi hablábamos español, con mi mami hablamos inglés.
Inglés, ya veo.
So, you're first generation here.
No, second generation, because my mom's first generation. Yes. My mom was born here.
But from your dad's side, you're first, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you're like second first.
I'm like second first, first second. Yeah. No, pero precisamente that's what your book is about.
Bueno, yes. Y el primer libro, que se llama Cómo crear niños bilingües, que es un ebook que lo pueden encontrar en todas las tiendas electrónicas, es más bien sobre el idioma y es ese dando muchas sugerencias de cómo crear niños con las dos culturas y con los dos idiomas, perdón. Y a mí me pasó eso porque mi esposo no hablaba español. Entonces, crecieron mis hijos con los dos idiomas, pero era difícil porque él y yo hablábamos inglés. Entonces, los chiquitos son bien inteligentes. Bien astutos, inteligentes. Y ellos saben que, pues si mami también habla inglés. Entonces, yo cometí ese error. Y por eso, cuando empecé a escribir la columna, antes no, cuando mis hijos estaban pequeños, no había mucha información para los padres inmigrantes latinos de cómo el desarrollo de los niños, cómo criarlos con las dos idiomas, las dos culturas. No debes dejar el idioma porque te mudes acá y todo eso. Entonces yo le daba muchos consejos a los padres antes de que hubiera toda esta información que hay hoy día.
Yeah.
Ya hubiese querido yo tenerla cuando estaban criando
porque
a mis hijos.
De lo que mucha gente me decía de generaciones atrás, a veces venían para acá y por falta de tener preocupación de que iban a ser criticados, no hablaban el idioma.
Se cambiaban el apellido, o que se sintieran diferentes.
It was looked upon.
Y que los papás querían que se asimilaran rápidamente. Right. Entonces, pero es la falta de educación. Si hubiesen entendido que es tan importante preservar y ahora hasta las familias que hablan inglés solamente, las monolingües, por todos los estudios que han habido en los últimos 7 años, la importancia de que todos nacemos con un cerebro multilingüe.
It's capable of being multilingual.
Bueno, si te vas a Europa, los chiquitos hablan 5 y 6 idiomas. Se miran de un lado y hablan en francés, y de acá te miran y hablan español, y acá miran y hablan inglés. Mm-hmm. Ellos han sabido eso todo el tiempo. No, necesitamos acá en Estados Unidos pruebas científicas para entonces ahora el bilingüismo se ha convertido en algo muy, muy importante y todos queremos que nuestros hijos tengan esa ventaja.
Exactamente. It's funny that you say that because in my perspective, los mexicanos or Latino culture is so worried about being assimilated here in the States that they want to be just speak English only.
Exactly.
So they forget to teach their children to talk their native language.
My sister's an example
of that. And then look at the perfect cultures that are actually doing such is Asian. Asian people are always talking in their Chinese and whatever.
Korean, Vietnam. Didn't you learn a little bit of that when you were traveling?
No.
Right?
Not that one, though.
Did you, Eric? I've been here for 14 years.
I learned a little Portuguese. You know a little Filipino. I know a little Portuguese, a little German.
Can you say stuff in German?
Oui, oui. Die sprechen Sie Deutsch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
He's counting.
Eins gut Bier.
You like beer?
That's beer.
As for Achtung, remember?
We are definitely learning that the brain is multilingual. So,
yeah. I mean, you can pick it up. I met somebody on a flight that spoke 7 languages, and he was a director of some kind of international.
God, baby, speak different languages to me.
Well, you know, it's easy.
I love that. Like accents.
Yes.
To me,
all
like,
those love languages down your cooch.
What? I did say I wanted to be international, right? I'm going to be ready to date like soon. I don't know when, but soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but Mari, going back to you.
I'm building my list.
It's really nice to to see you married. I know my parents have been married for a little bit over 44 years. I've been very fortunate.
Wow,
that they're still together through ups and downs.
Yeah.
I mean, through thick and thin. And Eric
God
knows them. I mean, they're
man.
Very, mm-hmm. you know, they're very gung-ho. And still, I am the baby. So they're always like, how are you doing? What's going on? Me and my brother, my sister, they're always like looking out for us still. And, you know, even though my mom is getting a little tired because she's a little sick, but she still pushes through. And I love the fact that they're each other's rocks. Like my dad will wake up.
Well, and that's the thing, children need to understand since they're little.
From the foundation.
That marriage is as important
Absolutely.
As they are. That that for mom and dad, parenting is very important, but marriage is too.
Right.
My husband and I still have dates every single Saturday.
Where do you guys go? What do your dates look like?
You know what? We love going to a nice restaurant and sit at the bar. And either there's a sports thing going, because, you know, my husband's really into sports, and I love sports, too.
You guys don't role-play? Like, hey, baby, how you doing? You guys don't role-play?
So we do that, or we try a new place, or we keep going to our favorite places that we hang out. And, you know, it's really kind of fun to go, and they all, you know, they know your name, and, you know, welcome back, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Bellas, whatever.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? A lot of people, when you recognize them by their name, people really love that.
Then you keep going back. Oh, I love that.
Absolutely. They feel very special. It's part of service. Yeah. So you just make someone feel
exactly.
at home.
Exactly. Because then it makes you want to go back to it. You know, want to go back. And if they have good food, even better.
And good cocktails.
Exactly.
Even
better. Oh my gosh. I could be
that too.
I could
good
be taking
service,
that on
good food, and good
and
cocktails.
My husband
That's
loves,
all you need.
My husband, you were talking about beer. My husband loves the draft beer. So we go to places that have really good draft beer.
Oh, I love that.
I'm getting thirsty. And
it all started because we complimented your ring. We're like, man, that's a beautiful ring. She's like, yeah,
it's a beautiful ring.
33 years later.
It's a huge rock, you guys. It's like
sparkly,
huge.
It's shiny, it's beautiful.
Hey, someone's going to follow me in my car.
We'll walk you out. Don't worry. The gate got you.
So raising bilingual children, I like it. It says it's an easy, user-friendly how-to guidebook for the new and technological savvy immigrant parent. This is the book that busy parents will go to when searching for advice and direction about the everyday joys and challenges of raising a bilingual child. What do you feel, Maritere, is like the biggest obstacle that people run into when it comes to, because like, como por ejemplo, mi hermana, mi sobrino, Robert, he's 16 years old. He understands Spanish, but he doesn't speak it. Pero entiende todo.
Pero en la casa, mami y papi no hablaban español.
No, porque mi hermana, you know, and when she was married, no hablaban español, and then she's engaged to a black guy, and so they don't speak Spanish, you know, but they understand it a little bit, but it's no es practicado. Where on the other hand, mi hermano se casó con una mexicana, her mom helps raise, like, she's a babysitter.
So they speak Spanish all the time.
And so she speaks Spanish. So obviously there's a difference.
Yeah.
But my sister kicks herself in the butt. She's like, dude, like, I fucked up.
So did I.
So your kids don't speak
Spanish?
So
did I. So my son has a more of a conversational Spanish, and he understands everything, and he talks to my mom and dad in Spanish and all that. My daughter got more of the grammar. She was the youngest. Mm. So she got more of the grammar. So what we did is she took Spanish in school, and then for her semester abroad, she went to Madrid. And she was there for like 5 months. So she came back, and we had conversations in Spanish. And, you know, I know it's there, but the same thing happened because we started talking English all the time. And what happens is the most important thing that I tell all the parents, you have to make a decision from the get-go.
Yeah.
We are raising bilingual children. This is a commitment. You both have to stick to it. And it takes a village. Yep. So you have to tell your family, your neighbor, your friends, this is what we're doing. So if he goes to your house and you speak Spanish, please speak Spanish to him. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of support me in this decision.
Claro. Right.
And then all the books. And then you have a, you know, at my the way I did it at my house is we had, we would read English books in English 3 times a week and books in Spanish 3 times a week. Oh, that's so and you cool. make it like part fun. Of their lives. Yeah. Make it fun. Like it's not a chore. It's not something that you want. You know, you got to do this or else. Yeah. It's not going to work. If they grow up with this, then it becomes part. It's like
part
brushing your
life.
Teeth. It's like brushing your yeah. teeth 3 times a day.
Yeah. You know, el otro día I was around my boy Alex and él y su esposa, él es charro y su esposa was a charamusca growing up. Like she, you know, charamusca is the girls that ride horses. Mm-hmm. And so they were kind of like, they both love the charrería and they're like soulmates. They were like meant to be together. And so it was his birthday. We went to celebrate at brunch. And so I saw both of his boys. Y los dos te hablan en español perfectamente.
Isn't that amazing? That's so great.
And so Alex is like, try to tell my son something in English. And then I was like, Alex, what's your name? He goes, ¿qué? No entiendo. Like, if you speak to them in English, they don't. And his wife, she's like, I'm not even worried about it because when they go to school,
oh, yeah.
they're going to learn.
That's the thing that I was going to tell
Pero
you
Pero en
is,
la casa, puro español.
Exactly. Everybody. En la casa, todo español. Y porque una vez si empiezan a ir a la escuela, ya entonces van a tener el inglés. So, but, right. but they know that when they walk through that door back to the house, they speak Spanish.
Yep.
And that's the part of right. that commitment that you're making.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm really glad that we're talking about this because a lot of people at this point in time and what's going on with the administration, the presidential administration, people are starting
Don't
to get
me
lot,
started on
lot,
that one.
Yes, people are starting to get a lot fearful yeah. of teaching their children another language and trying to be something different. And no, we're telling you it's okay.
As yeah,
absolutely. Right.
In your book, it's okay to be, you know, to learn your language, to learn your roots, because you know be what? At the end of the day, you're going to be more diverse and more successful around
absolutely.
The world. So when you
absolutely.
Go travel, hey,
absolutely,
you're gonna be
and there is scientific, you know, proof now that it really is an advantage for children to be bilingual, trilingual, mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, they can learn as many languages, and you know, language and culture go hand in hand.
Yes,
you mm-hmm. want to one of the main ways to preserve your culture is to be able to speak in that language.
Sure.
And you want that for your children. You know, it's part of who they are. It's their identity. You want them to know their language and be able to communicate with those that are back home that right. may not
yeah,
speak
even
English.
Even if you kind of say like, you know what, well, you're made in America with products of El Salvador, with products of Mexico, with products mm-hmm. of Puerto Rico, but yeah. you're made in America.
Exactly.
You know, so I completely agree. I think it's really important.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so check this out. We love this conversation that we're having, Maritere, for real. Like, discussions like this need to happen porque hay gente que are like, there's still hope. My son's 6. You know, there's still...
Oh, absolutely.
Niño,
there is hope.
Pero hay gente de que, you know, they don't know how to do it, right? So, regresando, being that it is que estamos celebrando el mes de la Hispanidad, Hispanic mm-hmm. Heritage Month,
yeah.
I love that. Okay, by the way, did you guys see that clip of Donald Trump donde he was... I don't know if he was mocking the Puerto Rican accent where he was like, Puerto Rico. Did you see that?
He's
oh, my a, gosh.
Yeah.
Did you see that? And he yeah. I don't know if he was trying to be funny and like roll the R's like the way we do, or if he was mocking it. At this point, I just really couldn't tell the difference. And
I'm going to go with the mocking it.
Ditto.
Right. right.
Yeah, because he said it. He exactly. said it with like a little roll neck, like Puerto Rico.
Well, didn't you see the like, video when he was there that he throwing the paper towels to the audience?
Falta de respeto. I was like in my head thinking, damn. And listen, I'm modern. I'm open minded. But my parents taught me like you don't throw shit across the room. Especialmente
right. to anyone.
To anybody. Like, that's just proper manners. I'm sorry. That's just the way I was raised. And I think that why, especially si sos el líder of this great nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you think you would have so many morals being a white man?
But everybody yeah. had their phones out, like they were like looking, and nobody was like, "Dude, what are you doing?" I would have been like, can you fucking be decent and hand shit out?" But everybody was like, "Con las cámaras, you could." I was like, "Okay, that's Puerto Rican people también like encabronense."
Yeah,
but also I understand that's the day and age that we're at now. But everyone doesn't live in the moment. Everyone's fucking documenting everything instead of living the moment and being present. True. Everyone's on fucking Instagram filter, and you know,
including us.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're part of, you know, we're part of that. So it's unfortunate that now people don't go out to a concert or to a live performance or a poetry session or whatever. Enjoy. Everyone's through. There's a filter. The filter is your phone. You're not there moment in the present. You're not really taking it in, but. You know.
Oh my God, no. So listen, you got a couple of feature stories in your book of Arroz con Pollo and Apple Pie, which is available, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.
Amazon, yeah, everywhere.
Pero you have La Historia de Jorge Ramos in here.
That's right.
And a few other people. We want to know all the juice. So coming back, seguimos la plática con Maritere on how to raise bilingual children this day and age. It's possible, you guys. Don't give up hope, porque sí se puede. Mm-hmm. Coming right back.
Hey, it's your girl Amber Rose, and you're listening to Two Bad Bitches, Roxy and Ruby on CBS's Play.it.
Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
Turn up.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back, guys. I'm really loving esta conversación about bilingualism. And, you know, I love knowing two languages. Spanglish is what I call it, you know? And I remember one time La Opinión did an article on me, and they dubbed me the queen of Spanglish media porque, you know, siempre me ha venido muy natural to go from here to there, and I've gotten criticized a lot for it, you know, like traditional radio. I would get people que me hablaban and they're like, oh, hablas inglés o hablas español, and I'm like, pero por qué tus hijos hablan como yo, you know. It's kind of like, it's not black, it's not white, it's gray, right? Yeah. It's really embracing
I think it took a while, but I think now we all accept the Spanglish thing.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, hey, it's better to have both like that than not to have the other one at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would rather have...
Well, a lot of languages have that. Like, look at the Ebonics. Mm-hmm. Look at the pidgin in Hawaiian and Polynesian folk. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah. No, get closer to the mic when you talk, Alexis. Hable como hombre, cabrón. No. I was going somewhere with this. I was going to ask a great question after this.
Sorry.
What I want to know is what... So... You've noticed the changing of languages, of cultures throughout the years. And I want to find out what made you start writing this book. Why now? Why start writing?
Okay, so my original manuscript was Arroz con Pollo en Apple Pie.
Such a creative name.
Cómo criar niños biculturales. Sí. This was my original manuscript. And it all came from that column that I was writing at La Opinión. Okay. Because there was no information. At the same time that I wrote that column every week, I used to write for a magazine called Ser Padres, which is around now, and it used to belong to another publishing company, Y Healthy Kids en Español. And really, that was it. And those magazines, you would get them at the doctor's office.
Mm.
But there was no information. No, I mean, I would go to the libraries, the bookstores. There was no books for parents that were raising kids here with two languages and two cultures. So that's where the idea came from. And when the literary agent took this manuscript of the bicultural children to the publishing houses, Simon & Schuster said, can we put this one on hold and do one on language only? Because right around that time, I'm going to say about 6 years ago or so, all these studies were being done scientifically about the multilingual language. Okay. So that's how the interest came back. Was, if you don't remember, you guys are too young. But
thank you very much.
Yes, you are.
You look good yourself, también. So, but
you know, bilingualism kind of like was silent for like 15 years.
Absolutely. I'm telling you.
Because the 187 and all that, you remember all that. So
there's
all
people
of
that
a sudden,
criticize it still.
All of a sudden, it's back in vogue because of all the scientific studies, and now everybody wants their kids
to learn a different language.
You know,
when
I was doing my research for the book, the dual immersion schools, they're very popular these days.
Yeah,
they're also bringing dual immersion to public schools, and there was a couple of principals that I interviewed, even in Utah. I interviewed a school there. The lines of monolingual Caucasian parents, the waiting list for them, because now they say, oh yeah, wait, I want my kid to have two languages too.
Yeah.
So now they're a mile, you know, long because they get it.
They
but
get it.
It needed the scientific proof.
Oh, right. Gosh.
Listen. When in Europe, they've known this forever.
Yeah.
Well, it's Europe just, has a lot of advance in many things that we don't allow.
Even their taxis?
That we don't allow our country to advance in because we're too money hungry.
Their taxis are like Mercedes, BMWs. Yeah. You're getting into like Bentleys. That's their taxis over there. Like they're moving and they're shaking. You know what's funny? One time I went to the grocery store and yo siempre, I don't even think about when I go back and forth from English to Spanish porque me viene tan natural, right? So I was at the grocery store and I don't know who I was talking to, but I remember there was this guy behind me, this man, older gentleman, and he tapped on my shoulder in amazement. He's like, excuse me. And I was like, yes. Oh my God, I'm having a moment with this man. I don't know, but he was like so in awe. And I was like, what did he like? I don't know. I was like, do I have a bra? Like, what is he in amazement? He was like, how do you, because I was talking to the person that I was with in English and Spanish. It's era una conversación, like going back and forth. He's like, how do you do that? And I was like, how do I do what? He's like, how do you go back and forth in two languages? Like, that is amazing. He was amazed. And it was a white man. And I just felt so, he made my day because I felt like he appreciated that. He was like, you know, it has to take more brain power or, you know, some type of smartness or something in your brain that's working harder to be able to do that, to go back and forth, because you do it so organically. And I said, yeah. I said, I don't, he's like, do you think about it when you do it? I said, no. Mm-hmm. And then, so I went, and then that's when I was able to read about the scientific proof that I, like, for example, me, I could read something in Spanish and translate it into English. And I did that many, many times on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, me daban un script de McDonald's o lo que sea, and I had to translate it from English to Spanish or Spanish to English. Sometimes you didn't have time to rewrite the script. And that has to make your brain work more.
It does. And also, you know, cognitive ways, the kids are better prepared. Socially, the kids are better prepared. When there's conflicts, they're all, you know, knowing more than one language helps them to, you know.
Para que se defiendan.
Exactly.
Like, what? Exactly. You don't think I know Spanish, cabrón? Well, I do.
Right. I heard what you said behind my back.
Yeah.
I know I look Middle Eastern, but no, soy Latina, and I'll stab you.
For sure. We'll break a bottle and cut a bitch real quick.
So you were telling me that Jorge Ramos, you interviewed him in this book, Arroz con Pollo and Apple Pie. Is he your buddy?
Well, yes, we've known each other for many years. When Jorge came from Mexico to California, to Los Angeles, he ended up at KMEX, and my husband was working in the sales department at KMEX. So we had just gotten married, Peter and I, and he ended up at KMEX, so that's when we met Jorge. He had just gotten here as well.
And what was
his
take?
So we became good friends. He shares with me his cultural, moving here from Mexico to and adjusting to the United States. You know, there is a balance that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And I call it the stages of adaptation or assimilation. And they're like the stages when you lose something or someone and you're grieving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get angry, you get confused, you resentful.
When you come to this country?
When you come to this country, you know, because, you know, you left something behind.
Right.
Something you've always known.
I mean, like, I made that choice. I left even though I'm an American citizen from, you know, since 1917, in case the president wants to know.
Okay. Right.
I love that word. My Argentinian and Peruvian friends use that word a lot. No, se tiene que ubicar.
Oh my God. Those congresswomen and the mayor of San Juan, and these women are so, like, I was like, we need a Puerto Rican president as a woman, porque
¿viste las puertorriqueñas tienen? Nidia Velázquez. Oh my God, she spoke so well.
Yes, she did.
It's all over Twitter. It's all over Twitter. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
We try to find a balance because we have to find a balance before we help our children find a balance. Sometimes what happens is we come here first and then our children come so it's very important that we learn how to find the balance between the culture we left behind and the culture we're adopting.
Yeah.
So we can help them, you know, because it's going to be hard for them to adjust.
Yeah.
Especially if they're like in junior high school and they all of a sudden come here, and then mom and dad may have had a baby here, and now the whole family dynamic is it changes.
Yeah. So, you love your family, huh? You're such a family lady, I could tell.
How old are your kids?
27 and 25. My son actually is going to be 28 in about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, yeah. And so hold on. So you're into social media too, but I love
I
that.
I see, Nina. I had to.
She had to get into it. Come on.
I had to sell my books and absolutely. To let people know. Not to sell my books, to really learn, you know, share my messages with
I think social media
with all the parents out there. Because, you know, there wasn't 15 years ago, there wasn't all these resources absolutely. That we have today. So so I feel like I bring credibility. I know what I'm saying. I've lived it. And so, yeah.
What is your social media on Instagram para que la gente te siga?
Latina Boomer Mom. Ooh.
Latina Boomer Mom. Rob. And what inspires you, Maritere, when you're writing? Like, what are some of your inspirations? How do you get that creative, you know, because not anybody can write, right? Not anybody is a writer. I choose to call myself a writer because I love to write, but I have to be inspired to write too.
Yeah,
you know,
because
sometimes
to be
I get writer's block, or sometimes I feel like I have to go to Catalina Island for a weekend.
get pampered and get spas and
go
everything.
To the spa. Nobody bother me, and I just want to be there and just like tap into my soul. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like writing like when there's a lot of noise and stuff around me. Like me,
I'm the same way. I go in my office and you know, for example, this book. It took me 10 years to finish.
Dang.
Cómo criar niños biculturales, el de arroz con pollo. Porque my children were little. And so once they started going to school, I became really involved in their education in the school. So, you know, PTA president, yeah. Fundraising chair, room mom, que si la ayuda en la biblioteca. I mean, I was just really involved. Present. So
mom
I would
year.
Always, okay. right. I would like always kind of put it on hold. Then when my daughter started in high school, she was like a sophomore in high school. I decided I better, you know, I need get this published.
It. So despolvarlo y empezarlo
so
otra
I
vez.
See, you know, and then, you know, the good thing is that in both books, I was able to now include all the resources that are available now on that all, you know, and there's a lot of more mommy bloggers and all that, and which I don't think I am. I'm just a book author that has a message for parents. But yeah, I give credit to all those amazing moms that are, you know, writing and sharing their messages too of their experience now with little kids, raising them with two languages and two cultures, or two languages and three cultures, which was my experience.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Your family in Puerto Rico, how were they affected by this whole disaster? Oh my gosh.
My parents are in the south part of the island, in Ponce. They have no water and no power.
Wow.
My sister is in San Juan. She has power but no water. It's a mess. It's really a mess. And we're trying to figure out how to send them some more water. And, you know, there's so many amazing efforts going on out there.
Right.
So grateful for that. Every time I see something, I put it on my wall on Facebook. Because
yeah, you share it.
I just want to, I'm so thankful for
I got to say, man, living in Cali, we are so blessed with our weather. And I just feel like we're the golden city, man, because I see all these disasters around us. And I'm like, we're good.
Yeah,
like,
but be prepared for an earthquake.
I was just going to say that. They're like, we always have that.
Okay,
that
I don't listen. I believe in energy, and everybody saying that is going to create an earthquake.
No.
Versus like, no.
Doesn't have anything to do with it.
No. All I'm saying.
I'm good. I'm just going to think positive every night, and I'm going to sleep with the slippers next to my bed. I'm going to make sure I don't sleep naked because de repente you got to get up.
Yeah, you got to run, girl. Dame las llaves, a bottle of water, y el rosario. Y vámonos. Vámonos afuera. Afuera.
Were you guys here for the Northridge earthquake?
Yes, I was.
You were here?
Yes.
I was alone with my two little kids because my husband was in New York with Univision. He went to do something. And it was scary as hell.
Dang.
It was scary, you know, my one-year-old and then my three-year-old. And I, you know, I always would sleep with them when my husband wasn't home, just because I felt like I could hear them and what have you. And then we go upstairs and my chandelier was moving from coast to coast. It was all glass. So I had to put the kids down and got in on top of a chair just to try to, because if it broke down,
right? Yeah. So scary.
The whole thing would have, oh, it was.
Oh my God, let's not talk about earthquakes. Yeah. That's one of my biggest fears. So, right. I rebuke earthquakes in the name of Jesus now.
It's not going to happen, but just be prepared. Have something in your car or whatever.
We got a 24-pack of water. Oh my God. So how can they find you on Instagram?
Latina Boomer Mom.
Oh my God. Make sure you guys support my girl Maritera's book, Arroz con Pollo and Apple Pie, Raising Bicultural Children. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to know more than 1, 2, 3, 5 languages. Okay.
Educate your children. Educate. Tell them to learn more than one language.
It's never too late, but it is about a commitment, like anything, right? If anything, you want to get results, you got to commit. But listen, coming back, we actually this week started something, me and my gay boy started something this week called Teeny Tuesday.
Oh, damn. Yes.
And so if you want to check out that video, it's on my YouTube channel, Roxy's World. Okay, go check it out. Every Tuesday, we're uploading a new video, and it's not your typical Tuesday with Teeny Tuesday, right? We're tapping on the taboos on Teeny Tuesday.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, something we talked about on that book, I mean, on that book, I'm going to have books in my mind.
On that segment.
Oh, yeah, we wrote it already?
On that first segment.
Damn, there's a script already? Shit, we just started it.
No, I know. See, I think big, motherfuckers.
Netflix show coming near you.
No, so one thing we talked about was how a lot of men... What do we name the episode?
On the deal. It's called the Low
Pro
Bro.
Bros on the Low.
Bros on the Low. And we were actually talking about, because I have the best conversations with my gay boys, and you guys keep it real, and I appreciate that, because it allows me to get to know the LGBT community and how you guys think and how you guys are crazy and fun and carefree, free-spirited. And interesting enough, you guys were telling me stories of, like, there's a lot of straight men out there, married, kids, family, that sometimes have feelings with gay men, mm-hmm. and not necessarily because they're gay, but just because they just want to get off with the man. Very interesting. I almost choked when they told me that, because I was like, ooh,
she was gagging.
Like, no, I was just like, are you serious? Like, I don't know. I felt like I was being schooled on something I didn't know about. So coming back, we're gonna talk about very raw, very honestly, like bros on the low, married men that are doing this kind of stuff. Okay, this is real shit, you guys. Coming back on Amber Rose Presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
What's up, guys? It's Macy Kate, and you are listening to Amber Rose Presents Risqué with my girls, Roxy and Ruby, on CBS's Play.it.
Oh, yes. El show continúa with my gay boys. I got Erika, the homo homie.
What up?
Alexis,
the mariachi.
The mariachi, the singing mariachi. Okay.
I only do mariachi.
He's up for hire. What's that video? What's the type of music that you did the other day? I recorded you in my kitchen on YouTube.
So when I sing mariachi music, what I love to do is my forte. It's like almost like a fantasy song. It's called huapangos. Huapangos are like the fantasy music of Mexico, where it's a lot of huapangos are almost like just a mix of like a traditional, like a country yodel.
Okay, give me an example of a huapango.
All right. So it's gonna go like, say for example,
he had a back up from the mic because it's that loud or what?
Yeah, no, just a little bit. But so this little example, like a yodel, it's like a Spanish yodel. So you're gonna go, va el pastor con su rebaño al despuntar la mañana, bajando por el sendero de la sierra la pradera. Then you go straight to the chorus, el flautín del pastor que al arrear canta así. So that's a yodel, it's like a Spanish yodel, it's basically Switzerland, Swiss Alps kind of style, a little blue grass in there, a little bluegrass in there, you know, mariachi music came from the French, which is Mirage band that came from other music, but yeah, it's a folk song.
How do we even start talking about this?
You asked me what's the style that I sang at
Yes. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So that's how we got started.
I don't know if you... Okay, so we wanted to talk about what we talked about on Teeny Tuesdays,
right,
which was Low Pro Bros. Okay, hold on. We could talk about this after.
Bros on the low.
Right. Which is something that really caught my attention, because it's actually, I don't know, like as a heterosexual woman, it kind of scares me to know that there's men that are in relationships, that are married, that go out there and that have maybe themselves have some type of fantasy to hook up with a man, but that doesn't necessarily classify them as gay. Like, so I want you guys to talk about those experiences. Like, go ahead.
Okay.
Alexis,
so,
you start.
I mean, okay. So it's really, it's again, being a very comfortable homosexual man and having the blessing of never having to come out. Someone asked me, when did you come out? I was never in the closet. I was very fortunate that my parents supported me. My parents grew up in the 70s. They were about peace and love and equality for all. That's why they came to the States.
Because
that's
amazing.
Right. So I was never, you know, I remember growing to my first drag show at 7 years old because my mom used to know them and she used to make the dresses for them. I just thought they were really tall women back in the day. I didn't know. But anyway, in my experiences, I think my thing is live and let live. Whatever floats your boat, great.
That's my tattoo on my shoulder.
As long as you don't hurt anybody along the way, you're entitled to do what you need to do. I've met men that are into trannies. I don't understand it. I remember I had one time one guy asked me, hey, can we really speak, like, just say whatever on the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. So there was this one guy.
As long as you're comfortable sharing.
No, for sure. Not for me.
There's no filter.
But I remember one guy, and he was like, said he was straight. And he asked me, hey, Alexis, let me ask you something. And I was like, what's up? And he's like, is it gay to have a tranny's dick in your mouth? And I was like, well, it's a dick, right? And you're straight? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, well, I don't get it. I think it's gay. But if you don't, then whatever rubs your boat. Whatever you want.
Maybe in his mind, he didn't think he was going to be gay because it looks like a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that's weird, though. That still fucks me up. As a gay man, like, how would I mean, I know I love the male physique, and I'm not going to go, if I start hooking up with this, you know, really cute looking, what do they call them, like, studs, mm-hmm. where the lesbians look like men, look like really cute boys. If I'm hooking up with them,
that's how you call it, lesbian,
right?
Looks
and
like
so
a boy?
And so
a
we stud. Start filling each other up, and I grab titties, and there's nothing down there. I'm not gonna continue because that's not my thing. I want what I want, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've came across different situations like that. You know, even you know sometimes. We'll be out at happy hour. A couple group of guys are all sitting there. They're very comfortable with their sexuality, or, you know, hey, what's up? I'm cool. I have a cousin. I have a friend. All right, great. You know, but then when it goes beyond where they're like, oh, well, hey, I think you're kind of cute. Like, what's up? And I'm like, oh, what's going on? At first, kind of taking it as a joke. But then the joke's on me because they're real serious. And they're like, hey, so what are you doing afterwards? And at first, I'm just like, well.
On these men that are like with their bros.
Right, right. They're like a group, you know, group of guys.
Watching
and stuff
football.
Like,
yo, whatever.
And again, being a gay dude, you know, I'm attracted to masculinity. I love masculine men. I like bigger meatheads. I mean, that's my thing. I like that.
What's a meathead?
Just
a
bigger,
thick man.
Like, you know, some you got to at least be like 6'1" to ride this ride.
Oh,
you at least
shit.
Have to be 6'1" and over 180. Yeah, I don't want no tween. You know, that's not my thing. You
yeah.
know, I like fucking men. Anyway, so I've experienced, you know, just recently, I was giving you the tea. Like
I
was down in, you know, city.
Don't say where.
You know, city close by the water, and I was at a happy hour, you know, and you know, one drink after seven drinks led to kind of just me. You know, I'm never scared to just show up at a bar and sit by myself because I eventually know I'm gonna start a conversation with somebody or whatnot or female, whatever. Just have fun, enjoy some cocktails. And this particular time, I ended up bumping into this guy, and he was with his friends or whatever, and we were talking. One thing led to another. It's like, I'm really about, I support the LGBTQ community. I was like, yeah, cool, thanks. You know, we appreciate the love, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was going to be it. Cool. I ordered myself another drink. And then, you know, after like the whole night, he would keep on coming back to me. And I was like, all right, cool. Maybe he's really comfortable or he's, you know, excited about the conversation. Didn't really think much of it because that's not really, I just don't overanalyze shit.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Great. You know, whatever.
Keep
moving
moment.
On. Absolutely. But he seemed to like show like interest, and he was like, hey, so what are you doing afterwards? I said, well, you know, I don't really live close by here. I still have to drive up like 20 minutes up the freeway, but I don't really have any plans. And, you know, and he was like, well, you know, why don't you come back to like my place and we can all just hang out? And I said, like, well, where's your place? He said, oh, by the water. So anyway, long story short, first encounter, we go back to his spot. He takes one of his homeboys with us. So with the first experience, we went, and you know, it was like him and his boy, and so we were all three of us went back to kick it. You
and
know,
this guy was like straight,
after hours,
right?
Yeah, after hours, whatever, cool. Homeboy was, his homie was like throwing up everywhere, so we were kind of both like taking care of him, still like taking shots and drinking or whatever, just talking about anything and nothing, and just cool. The second time I went back to that same bar and it happened again. Then this time, kind of same situation, same time it happened, went back to his place, just us two.
Uh-oh, there was opened no
up
homie.
We opened up a bottle, started talking, and one thing led to another, of course, and it got intimate, and, you know, and this whole time he's, you know, telling me, like, oh, I've never done this, I just, for some reason, I'm really curious, and I was like, well...
That's what I'm saying, you know, that, like, shit is crazy!
And so then, to me, then, as a gay man, I've been a gay man my whole life, I think, well, maybe... Again, this is something I just think. I don't say it because obviously I'm not going to, you know, fuck myself out of a good time. I'm going to fucking continue with what I'm doing, first of all. Second of all, you know, I'm thinking like...
Typical man, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Keep
I was like, fuck it, toot it and boot it, baby. Toot it and boot it. Toot it and boot it. Anyway, so to me, I'm thinking, okay, so if that was the case, if I would always put myself in the position, I was like, okay, am I really just making myself think that, oh, no, I'm just gay because I'm gay. Like, let me try. But no, I've tried. I've tried to, you know... I mean,
you try to make yourself like a girl?
No, I've tried to experiment.
I mean, when?
I was in college.
And
I was
what?
In college.
Did you like it?
I mean, we made out. I grabbed titties. I knew it wasn't my thing. I mean, yeah. I can tell when a woman is beautiful. I can tell, my God, that girl is banging. She's fucking on fleek from her head to her toes, from her nails to her, I mean, makeup, everything. I can tell. But it's just not my thing. It's not going to make me just, you know.
It's not going to turn you on.
No, not at all. So I know that's where my limit is. But so for me to hear from this particular guy, again, I'm not going to stop because I'm getting it in too, so fuck it. You know, we're going to finish it off. But to me, it's always like, well, okay, maybe he's not being true to himself because he's not really allowing himself to really explore maybe because of his family, because of society, because of his job, maybe because he didn't have the support to really maybe to experience that. And maybe he just is confused and maybe wants some sort of a down low hush hush outlet to tap into it once in a while.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Being that this guy was supposed to be straight, was he enjoying it? Like, from what you saw?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah maybe. Absolutely. Okay, what about you, Erika? Wow, that's a great story, Alexis, of like, santo well,
Dios. Oh, I got one of the kinkiest stories. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's for,
yeah, that's another.
To think that there's straight men, though, that are maybe out there trying to, you know, I guess.
Experiment.
No, like, they're living in a fake world, per se, right? If you're, like, with a woman, you have kids, you even get married to her, maybe. Right. Or you're in a serious relationship, but yet you're doing this shit on the side, like, damn. Like, that. I think it would break my heart to know that a man left me for another man than for a woman. Because, like, for a woman, I get it because you're like, shit, she has tits and pussy and, you know. But a man, like, what was I not doing to you?
But
fuck
it's not,
that.
But
it's not even about me. I guess it's about him being
true to
himself.
I was
going to
say, don't ever blame yourself if that would happen. It's never your fault because it's never your fault because I feel like
seriously, my boys, you guys, I would cry. I don't know, it would hurt me deeply for a man to leave me for a man. I'd be like, what?
Same thing. It would be like, we can't offer what you guys have. Exactly. You guys can't offer what we have. I mean, you know.
It's an internal feeling that they're probably just wanting to explore and scratch, you would say, to get out of the
scratch
way to find out if they really like what they're feeling.
Has that been your experience too?
I try to stay away as much as possible from married men because it's not my thing. I put myself.
Well, hold on. Let's clarify one thing. I never said they were married or with anybody.
No.
I don't want to sound like a hoe.
Either or.
I don't. I'm trying to make sure I keep that shit real. With that shit, but I'm not a hoe.
I try to stay away from anybody in a relationship because it's detrimental to the other person.
Forget the relationship. I'm talking about men that say they're straight that do this.
Well, I fuck around with them. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
I mean, they're single. I'm single. Fucking get it in. Like he said, why get it in while I can. It's nobody's hurting each other. I mean, it's just whatever. He's experimenting. He wants to try it out.
And if he's lying, then that's on him. And
exactly.
It's not, we asked.
I had one guy that came back every single time, would text me all the time at like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Hey, are you home? What are you doing?
A straight guy.
What are you
is
doing?
Is that home from the car?
Military, Eric? Huh?
Is that the guy from the car that would pull up at your house?
Yes.
Okay, and what?
And he would say, hey, what are you doing? What are you up to? Like, are you free? Are you available? Where are you coming from?
Whenever he texts you after 2 o'clock, it's a booty call. It's a fucking booty call.
Yeah.
You know what's up. Hey, what's up? Like,
toot a damn booty.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
Okay, so he was straight and he would tell you, call you those hours. And then did you guys hook up?
We would hook up from time to time. Like, it just wasn't, he would just hit me up constantly and it would be just too much for me, just like, you know what, dude, like I don't want to, it's just whatever. But I, from time to time, if I felt the urge and I wanted to, then I would say, all right, come over. Like, and he would park in front of the
house.
And
let me ask you, was he like a taker or a giver?
He was the taker. So I would, it was just pure oral. So I would just give him oral all the time.
He liked it from a man.
Oh, he loved it.
That is so damn. Look at those eyes.
He loved it. He loved it. Friday conversations. Snap. It's happy hour soon, folks. Get ready.
Really? Let's
go for it. Happy hour all over my face.
There you go. Shit.
Alexis,
dinner
what did
and
you
a show, baby.
Huh? What did you say? Que después de las ocho, ¿qué? Después de las ocho es hora de pecar.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. You can always kind of start feeling, and your body starts like getting loose, and you're like, oh, should I want to go out after?
But there's there's a rush about it, about being with the straight guy.
What's
the
rush?
It's just like, man, he's never been with a guy, and you're the one that's doing it to him. It's like, fuck,
or they say, yeah. Whatever. The fantasy's still hot. I mean,
you know,
it's really up to you. If you're feeling, when there's an attraction to somebody, it could be physically or emotionally, or just even for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I always kind of tell them sometimes when they start asking too much questions, I'm like, you know what, baby?
Like what questions?
Like, what do you do, blah, blah. And I said, you know what, Papito, let me tell you one thing. You got one night only, baby. You got only until sunrise, and that's it. Like, until, let's enjoy this. But now I can be whatever you want. Military, my name can be Jorge, Juan. I don't give a fuck. But until sunrise, until you get the fuck out of here, ya estuvo. Don't look for me. Don't call me. Because I'm just enjoying this moment. Don't overdo it with questions. Again, that probably turns
them on even more.
Probably, because mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, you know, catch any feelings. I'm just like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do that. You invested. I invested. Let's fucking split this halfway, baby. Let's do it.
And you know what? Speaking about that, like,
right.
We as gay men, I don't know if you feel the same way, but we don't initiate, like, we don't throw ourselves on
ever.
The straight men.
Ever.
If
ever.
They choose to.
Wow. Right.
If they choose ever. To do it with us, and we're still standoffish, but when they're ready and they want to really do it, well, sometimes we'll give in, sometimes we won't, you know, like, we'll just think about the person. But other than that, like, hey, if they want to experiment, okay, why not let them experiment with a guy?
So for the most part, I want to just say, like, for the most part, when that does happen, right, when the line does get crossed, is it really clear coming from that straight guy? Like, is the sign is there, like, yeah, this dude's ready to go for it? Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
How
yeah.
do you know?
It starts when getting, like, physical when he starts, like, hey, what, bro, let me get you a drink, comes over and, like, puts his hand around your waist, or mm-hmm. like, or starts saying, damn, you're fucking pretty, like, or just, like, just throwing you piropos, just, like, being like, hey,
little
go
hints,
home, just
so,
little, and I'm like, all right, I mean, if some guys are fucking around, cool.
Like,
you know,
they'll ask
stop.
Us questions like, why do you like men? Why do you like going down on a guy? It's just like, well, why do you like going down on a girl? Like, it's the same thing.
Oh, those.
And then it's just those questions. They're trying to pick our brain, right? And then they're in the back of their brain, it's just like, fuck, I wonder what it is like to be with a guy. What if he gets better head than a girl? Like, a
damn.
Guy knows a guy, you know?
Anthony, what do you have to say about this whole topic? Anthony, our engineer.
Fascinating. This is a conversation I've never ever heard before. I mean, right. You know, just
to know.
This
happening.
Is how I
it's happening, Anthony. Right. It's happening.
Honestly, speaking from a male point of view, a straight male point of view, has it ever crossed your mind at least once about being with a male?
No.
See,
okay.
That's how you know that they're either
go.
Not. They're not.
That's
really,
how I am when it comes to girls.
You know?
Like, I think girls are beautiful, yeah. But I can never imagine a girl licking me. I'd be like,
right.
Oh.
And same for me. I could never want to go ahead and go down and, you know, eat tuna all night. Like, it's not really my thing. I, you know what I mean? I don't want. Hopefully, it doesn't taste or smell like that. But
a
you know,
vagina should not
right.
smell
but
like
you know,
tuna.
Like,
that's
but,
bad. That's
but
bad.
I but I say that in the, you know, quote unquote stereotypical.
Yeah.
That's what they always link it to.
Yeah.
What's the nickname for? You know what I mean? Like, it's dumb. But again, not my thing. I wouldn't pursue that. But again, I feel like it.
That's
it's,
yeah. Because when I'm talking to guys, I'm like, hey, you going to the sports bar Sunday to watch football? That right. I never say,
right.
Hey, come over
and
to my
you know
place
what, Anthony,
and let me get you a drink.
And sometimes the hottest spots to pick up DL
at
brothers
the
are
in
at
the, sports
the
bar.
Motherfucking sports bar. After,
damn,
like, they're 16.
Out. Like,
mm-hmm. Like, you know.
I even go with my straight boys, and
yeah,
I'm going to have to
that's the best.
You know
that's
what?
That's the best.
I love my straight men, okay? Don't get it twisted. I mean, I love my straight guys. They're cool. They treat me like little sister.
Right.
Like
right.
Little sister, little brother, because I have so much love, and I have so much respect for them as well.
I love that about you and Alexis.
We
guys are
Alexis
very respectful.
And I do not cross that line. There's a lot of people that, a lot of gay people
right.
will cross that line. And, you know, like, it looks bad on our community.
But
hey, it is
and
what it
that,
is.
Eric, you know, if ever you go out anywhere, you or, you know, Maritere, whenever you guys go out anywhere and you see a girl being a fucking facilota and she's throwing herself on every man possible and her titties out, everything, you know what she's there for.
Yeah.
I mean, she's about that. That's not us. It's the same thing in the gay community. You can get, hoes, tricks. I mean, everybody's there just for the wild, just for the good time. And you'll see that, you know, just like a kitty cat, when it starts rubbing up against someone's leg, meow, meow, touch me, pet me, love me, squeeze me, do me, you know, lick me, whatever. And you start doing that. But yeah. Again, to each his own prerogative, to each his own person. That's not the way I was raised. That's the way he was raised. We were still raised with, like, family morals and out of respect. Again, like you, like any heterosexual couple, when you're out in a restaurant and you see a couple making out all night in front of you or your kids, it's just like, it's a little uncomfortable sometimes. Like, go get a room. You know, and sometimes that's what some of the guys want to do. They want to go get a room or in the car or on the boat or in a penthouse, wherever it happens, you know?
Are you talking about personal experience?
Always. Always.
Wow. No, but Anthony, back to what you were saying. I know we got to wrap up this show and it's been super interesting. But when I was having this conversation the other day doing my YouTube video with them, I was like blown away because I was like, damn, you know, I'm a heterosexual person, but I love asking questions to my gay boys because I'm like, what really goes on out there? Like, I want to know.
Yeah,
I want to understand the community more. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy shit that happens when heterosexual couples too. There's a lot of people that are swingers. There's a lot of people that have open relationships. There's people that, you know, I mean, tie each other up, role play.
And then there's one thing that I brought about that when in our conversation is like, look at, we as human beings need to be conscious of our bodies and aware of what we're doing and the things that we do. So regardless of the fact that we're sleeping with men, sleeping with women, whatever, transgender, whatever the case may be, always get checked.
Yes.
Always check yourself. Get an STD checked. And that should be a number one priority on your list.
Right.
I'm a big advocate for that.
Absolutely.
And you know, you never know who's sleeping with who, and you don't want to get shit. And it's healthy. It's healthy. It's nothing like, oh, well, I'm thinking that you're cheating on me and da-da-da-da. No, it's healthy. If you and your partner go get checked together, hey, you guys are keeping it healthy. And if you guys have been together for years, and okay.
You have nothing to hide. Exactly. Unless you're out there being a facilota.
Exactly.
Hello. Hello.
So, and it's every 3 months to get checked for an STD every 3 months. So,
oh my God, I love that. You know what? Seriously, just be responsible. And you know, I think nowadays as a single woman, you know, when I start dating and like, carry your own condoms, lady. Mm-hmm. If a man fucking thinks you're gross, like, oh well, like, because latex, to be super 100 with you guys, like, sometimes latex irritates a woman's vagina. So if there's a certain latex or a certain condom
that works for you and it's not
going to irritate you.
Ultra thin.
The ridges.
Ultra thin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if there's certain types that you like, I mean, and you want to enjoy sex, like, buy what you like, and who cares? Como te van a juzgar? Because at the end of the day, if you got something, you got to tell that person. Mm-hmm. It's your responsibility. You got to get an antibiotic. Sometimes it's curable. Sometimes it's not. You know, go get your pap smears, lady, because if you don't, that's when your vagina starts to stank.
Exactly. And one thing you tapped on is, you know, I think people don't really realize, but sex is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Sex is a release. Sex is just, I mean, it's in the moment. It's a passionate, it's nothing wrong with having sex and enjoying yourself, but just as long as you're careful and as long as you, you know, don't hurt anybody else in the long run, enjoy it. I mean, you know, exhaust yourself, dehydrate yourself having sex.
Yo
no, si el cuerpo quiere, hay que darle, like, dale. Entrenle, atásquense, húndanse en el sexo. Lo que quieran. Ahóganse.
Ahóganse. Ahí vamos a terminar. Cuando el cuerpo quiere, hay que darle. We'll see you guys next week, guys. This is the best show. Oh my God, I love you guys.
I love you too.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.